Log Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, David Clark, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. And for today's show, we're going to be talking about your favorite songs and what they mean to you. We invite you to please feel free to participate or to just listen. And know that Kat is not doing psychic readings on this show. So, Kat, tell me about some of your favorite songs and what they mean to you.
Well, as an inspiring singer-songwriter, I really focus on the musician as well as the music, and I have phases of different musicians that I dive into and really, really love up and learn about and study and everything. So thinking back to my childhood, Queen were the band of my childhood, absolutely. And the very first time I ever saw Queen was when we'd just come to Australia and they released Crazy Little Thing Called Love. I don't know if they made it as a nod to Elvis Presley, but it certainly sounds to me like an Elvis song. And but it's a whole lot of fun. And I've seen it performed live, and I just love it. I absolutely love it. And whenever I think of that song, I think of the freedom and fun of my childhood. How about you?
Well, caught me eating a spoonful of soup. I know. As I was saying to you, I found that the songs that really spoke to me tended to fall in a few different categories. Most of them fell in the realm of inspirational songs, and then came love songs and sentimental songs and a couple of funny songs. I love the musical Anything Goes. I was in that when I was in high school. And the title song for that musical is Anything Goes. And let's see if I remember how it goes. In days of old when things were rotten and I don't know. But the premise is, yeah, that's it. Yeah, Anything Goes. It was a very naughty show. But it was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed the experience. So I had that down, and there's also another song the Pet Shop Boys do that's very much tongue-in-cheek, and it sounds like it's serious if you just listen to the lyrics, but it's not at all. It's called It's a Sin. And, you know, I've done a lot of sinning in my life, so-called sinning, and I just wanted to talk about a couple of love songs that speak to the lies and deceptions and the cheating that I've done as a former sex addict. And these are songs that speak to me, and I wrote them down because I dedicate one of them to my husband, and that's Broken Vow. We both love Josh Groban. And, you know, without going into the lyrics, it's about a partner that breaks his vow and essentially cheats. Well, does cheat. And it's a beautiful quasi-love song. It's like making atonement for or making amends for transgressions. And it speaks to me at a very deep level. And I will say this, I have regrets about my past, but they serve no purpose in my today. And so I look at it as a learning experience that I had to repeat again and again. The other one I was thinking of was Silent Whisper by Wham. And that also is another song of cheating. And so, you know, I love the song, I love the lyrics, but it really speaks to me of something in my past that I've had to heal from. So those were a couple of the quote-unquote love songs. And, you know, I'm going to talk about inspirational songs and other love songs later, but I think my favorite song of all time is Over the Rainbow.
Oh, yes. My boy loves that one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, The Wizard of Oz, right? And Dorothy, there's no place like home, and her dreams for a better life for herself from what she perceived her life to be, which in the end she realized wasn't bad. There was no place like home. But she was a dreamer like I am. And, you know, the final words to the song are so poignant. Birds fly over the rainbow. Why, oh, why can't I? And I've often wondered that myself. When I've looked upon those things in my life that have distressed me, that I couldn't accept, that I wished were different, and the bottom line is it's all good, even if it doesn't feel good, it all serves a purpose. What do you think?
I love all of those songs. Yeah, that's a really great group of songs, and they are very good. And I think, oh, goodness, no, his name's lost. I'm lost his name, the lead singer of Wham.
Oh, George Michael?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually a very good singer-songwriter, and I think he was quite underestimated by a lot of people. He was a wonderful talent, exceptional talent in a lot of ways. And when you look at his music, you can see the genius in it. It's simple, but genius at the same time. And I think what they did to him because of his transgression was just cruel. But that's the UK press for you. You know, things are consensual and private, and should be just left alone, you know?
I agree.
That was then. I mean, they probably still do that to somebody these days who was famous, but I still think that that was quite a sad thing. David Bowie. An interesting character, a little bit of an occultist from what I hear, amongst other things, a contemporary of the Boys and Queen, Ground Control to Major Tom, always fascinated me.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely fascinated me. I had so many different imagination trips. While listening to that song, I didn't need to take any interesting drugs to have that song feel like it was psychedelic. I just love that song. And that would be one of the songs of my explorative years that really sticks out. I think that it came out when I was a child or before I was born. But I always loved that. And I always loved The Doors as well, going back into history. Would You Love Her Madly? That song, really just the beat and the feel of the song, apart from the velvet smooth of the voice and, you know, Jim Morrison was a great singer, a charismatic, damaged soul. And unfortunately, there's just something about people who are incredibly creative that they feel so deeply that it can take them on some pretty dark paths. But, you know, the legacy is there. And, The Doors just speak to me of my youth, and I was absolutely gobsmacked and pleased to see that my two sons had started to be interested in, my two oldest sons had started to be interested in that kind of music. And so it's my great pleasure to put Riders on the Storm on in the car and drive along with my boys. And also Metallica, one that can't go past Metallica. Absolutely love Metallica. And Guns N' Roses. I can sing a good version of Sweet Child of Mine at karaoke if you like.
Sing it now.
But these are the bands of my youth. I wasn't really into pop music when I was growing up. My brothers were more into heavy rock, heavy metal, and so that was the exposure that I got. And because they were into that, I started also experimenting with other music that was more out of the 60s and 70s. I started to turn away from pop music in about 1987 when Stock Aitken and Waterman started releasing, you know, boy bands and manufactured artists. Around that time, it just began to bore me. So I started to step away. And I need real bands. I need real musicians, real bands, real guitars, real music, you know, and real singers. I'm not really into singers that use those, what do you call them, those toe machines? I forget what they're called.
I don't know what
Chris
they're
Brown
called.
Uses them a lot, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the kind of the electrified music didn't interest me until Avicii came along. And that, I think, has more to do with the fact that the lyric that he wrote was so deep. And it was for that reason that I started to listen to that kind of music again. But before then, I wasn't into it. But you, I know, are a classically trained musician. Yes. And we were talking before the show, and you hadn't considered any of the classics. Now,
no.
I absolutely love the concert musician, great composer, Verdi. He has been probably my favorite classical musician of all time. I know there's Mozart and, you know, all the others that are more famous than him, but there's just something about Verdi with me. Who is your favorite composer?
Well, when it comes to song and composer, I like Puccini. I love Puccini. And, my taste in classical music runs basically the gamut, although I'm not a big fan of Bach. I played Mozart, but I'm not a big fan of listening to Mozart. I like Beethoven. I especially enjoy the Impressionist music composers like Debussy, Ravel, and the like. I like the Russian composers, Prokofiev, Tchaikovsky, Rimsky-Korsakov. I have a broad range of classical composers that I enjoy, and I am a trained pianist, and so I play a lot of that. And I was just thinking in terms of song, and it's interesting you talk about the Doors and Queen, and I love them. My tastes have changed quite a bit over the years, and I've also looked back upon when I made my list of songs, classic pop songs, like the sentimental song Try to Remember or What a Wonderful World. I sang Try to Remember to my paternal grandmother when she was in her elder years, and she cried. It is a sentimental song, but I think the thing about it is even when you reach December, you can always remember, and memories are so tender and sweet. They don't have to be bittersweet, even though quite often they can be. But I think if you look at the cycle of life and have a belief in an afterlife, that a song like that is very tender and very nurturing. Are you familiar with the song?
No, I'm not familiar with that one. What a Wonderful World I Am.
Yeah.
I sing that every night to my little boy. He absolutely loves that one.
Well, Try to Remember starts off, try to remember the kind of September when life was slow and oh so mellow. Try to remember the kind of September when grass was green and grain was yellow. Try to remember, and if you remember, then follow, follow. And then the final stanza is, deep in December, we like to remember, although we know the snow will follow. Deep in December, our hearts will remember, and so on and so forth. It's a beautiful song. It's a ballad, if you will. I love it, and I love to sing it. So, you know, I'm a softie, and I just had a few sentimental songs. I like some of the sentimental songs from Les Miserables. I love Bring Him Home. You know, there's songs about hope. I love On My Own, and that's sung by, I forget her name, when she was dying. Or was it sung by the daughter? I don't remember. It doesn't matter. But those songs speak to me. And then I also was thinking of some introspective songs, and later on in the show I'll talk more about inspirational and love songs. But for me, getting back to some of the foolish things I've done in my life, which I don't judge myself for anymore, I believe we all do the best we can each step of the way with whatever we have, whatever we know at the time. And there's a song from a musical, I forget which one, but it's called What Kind of Fool Am I? What kind of fool am I? And I don't remember the words. I had them memorized. I've forgotten them. But it's a song that is very bittersweet, but when I sing it, I don't sing it as if it's bittersweet. I sing it as if it's letting go of regret and not crying over spilt milk, if you will. And I love Sending the Clowns. That's about a pair of lovers. The male lover, these are lovers from the past. The male lover, it's from A Little Night Music. The male lover had pursued this actress, and she had her sights set on the stage and on fame and glory. And many years later, he visits for the weekend, and she realizes that she had been a fool, and she tries to make amends by extending her love to him and letting him know that she's available. But he's moved on. And so she talks about, send in the clowns, don't bother, they're here. And that's a beautiful, beautiful ballad. I love it. Little Night Music, check it out.
Yeah, sounds great.
What else do you have?
Well, going on ballads, probably the most haunting and deeply layered ballad that I've learned is Fields of Gold, the Eva Cassidy version. It's just such a... It can be a tale of sorrow, or it can be a tale of... trying to find the words. Like a coming of age in some ways, or of someone who's lost and loved. It can be, it has multiple layers to it, you know, it depends on how you want to choose to read it. It could be of falling in love young and growing old together, and then, it has a passage of passing away. And I just love it. I love singing it. It takes me to a sort of surreal place. It's a little bit surreal. But that's the one that I think of when you're talking about ballads. But I think Eva Cassidy is an American artist, And so obviously the Master Sting himself wrote the original, and you know, his band really did well with a lot of fantastic music. Every Breath You Take, of course, is the most famous of theirs.
Love it.
But when I think of the USA and I think of my family living in Missouri in the Bible Belt, I don't know where Alabama is situated to them.
Oh,
but Sweet Home
know.
Alabama is probably the song that I think of when I think of my family in the USA. And, you know, I'd love to be in a bar with them and rock out to that song, because it's just a upbeat classic. You can't go wrong with that song. And then the other one that I think of when I think of the USA is Take Me Home Country Road by John Denver.
Mm.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful song. And I can think of so many beautiful country roads that I've been on around the world that I could apply that song to, you know? It's to me, that song's about celebration of the earth as much as it is of the location that John Denver himself was thinking about when he wrote it. It's just an amazing song. I love that song. Brings me so much joy to sing it, you know, and to be listening to it. And when everyone gets in and starts singing it too, you know, it's just beautiful. It's quite wonderful. But I noticed that I had a big stage focusing on, and my music teacher calls it the Shirley Bassey stage. I have studied that woman. She, in my mind, of the divas, if they want to call themselves that, she's the top. She's the goddess. She is you can't get past her. I have a similar vocal range to her, but I certainly wouldn't ever expect that I am as good as her. I mean, she was singing since she was a kid, openly, and, you know, encouraged. I was not encouraged. And I didn't start singing lessons until I was in my early 30s. So I don't have the dexterity and the knowledge that comes with someone like her, but I can tackle her songs because I have a similar vocal range, and I just love her. I love her story. I love how she's come from Tiger Bay there in Wales. She's of mixed race. You know, she fought her way up to the top. She had a series of managers who were also husbands, and, you know, the dynamic complications that are involved with that. She's loved, she's lost one of her children. She's gone through so many different experiences and brought all of this richness of her life into the music that she sings. And I think the thing that really sets her apart is, although, you know, emotion when you're singing is a killer. You start diving into the emotion of the song and it chokes you. So you know, you can't express the emotion by feeling it too much. It's like a fine line. You've got to express the emotion of the song through your face and your gestures, and by knowing the story of the song and bringing the color of the song out without getting sucked in. As soon as you get sucked in, it's all over. And she has that art down to a T. She expresses the song physically, facially, and she puts in the action, the color of the song. She's an actor as much as she's a singer when she's on the stage. And she absolutely embodies every song that she sings. That's why she's the goddess. That's why she's the ultimate singer to me. I haven't seen another one do it the way she does. Yeah.
When you're talking about black singers, there's one that comes to mind that I hadn't thought of, and that's Billie Holiday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for those of you who don't know the story, Billie was essentially an abandoned child and grew up in a brothel and became a prostitute. And her life was very bittersweet, and she ended up dying from addiction. She was an IV drug user. But she created some beautiful music, and one of the songs that I think of is God Bless the Child. Them that's got shall get, them that's not shall lose. So the Bible says, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own. And, you know, I'm sure she was singing as much for herself as anybody else. Her songs were so heartfelt. But, you know, it speaks to me of every child's yearning, and what they need is love. I mean, there were so many things that she was looking for, and I think love was the biggest thing, and it basically eluded her. She had a big heartbreak in her life, but love is the answer. Love is ultimately what we're all looking for, whether it's a lover, whether it's self-love, I mean, that's where it all begins. It's so important. And then I was thinking of the song Whitney Houston sang, which talks about children and self-love, and that's the greatest love of all. And, you know, that's another African-American singer that met with a tragic end, also drugs. But she was a diva for many years. She was top of the game. And she had a wonderful voice, which became spoiled by drugs and a sad story. But that is such a song of hope. And it ends up with the greatest love of all is the love that we have inside ourselves. And isn't that really the answer? Because that's where it all begins.
Mm. Yeah, that song is quite a deep song. I agree. And she, you know, we all make mistakes in our life, and you can't blame her for the mistakes that she made. And a lot of people have pointed fingers at her partner, and the drug addictions all starting once she got married. But I wasn't a person in her life, and I don't know what really went on. So I'm not going to stand in judgment. But it was a tragedy that she passed away, and obviously her daughter did as well, and she must have been very unwell to have gone through the difficulties that she went through. Speaking of her daughter, of course, that brought her to her end. But, you know, with tragic stories, you know, out of the fire comes the phoenix, and Dolly Parton has to be one of those people.
Oh, yes.
And the song that always gets me, I know Jolene is her most, probably one of her most favorite songs. And it's great. I love singing that. I'm learning it at the moment. But Coat of Many Colors is the song that hits me in the chest every single time I hear it. Because my mother used to sew clothes for me. And she and my father raised four kids, and, you know, they had bills to pay, and we were not as poor as her family, as Dolly Parton's family. But still, clothes were made for me, my mother still makes clothes for my children. And there's something very precious about a handmade item from a relative who loves you, and this particular song touches me because of that, but also because of the optimism and the positivity that is brought through, that even though they didn't have much, they still thought about positive things. And the other thing that I really love about Dolly Parton is that she's a great storyteller, and she'll tell you a story of just about every song that she sings before she starts to sing it, why she wrote it, what it means to her. So when she starts to sing it, you've got an emotional connection and you've got a deeper heartfelt joy that comes along with that song. I watched her in concert 1980 in London, and I really, really loved that. Obviously, I wasn't there. I watched the recording of it. I was 1980. I was about 5 years old. Man, I think we were in Australia by then, so I wouldn't have seen it. But I saw the recording of it. I just found that probably to be my favourite concert of hers. But Coat of Many Colours is the song that really touches my heart of all her songs. And she's got a massive repertoire, and she has said she's got a multitude of songs that she has that she will release long after she's gone, posthumously. I hope I said that word correctly. So she's somebody that is a genius level as far as I'm concerned as a musician.
I love
and
Dolly Parton.
She's done very well for herself too.
Oh yes, she has. And she deserves every bit of her fortune. She's done so much for other people. And when you were talking about her, she is an inspiration to me too. But I was thinking about a song that she wrote that actually gained not infamy, but was a more famous recording, and that was I Will Always Love You, which also Whitney Houston performed. And that was written by Dolly Parton. A lot of people don't know that. And that is probably one of my favorite love songs. Very poignant. It's a song that has some regret to it because it's about splitting up. But the bottom line is that love endures, love is forever, and when they sing it, and they sing it very differently, but they're talking about how love does endure, and I will always love you. And I love that song. It brings tears to my eyes.
Mm. Yeah, just changing tactic a bit and moving on to a few Australian artists, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Band of the 90s, Savage Garden. I don't know if you guys have heard of Savage Garden. I hope so, because if you haven't, then do yourself a favor and listen to them. And probably my favorite one of them, their songs, is The Animal Song. It's, I want to live like animals run through the trees. That song speaks to me on a deeper level because it's talking about the freedom of youth, the needing to get away from the rat race, being different to the way that humans have been, and taking lessons from nature and children. To me, that song is more than just a pop song. I really love that song. And these boys, they came from Logan, which is a satellite city to Brisbane here where I live. And it's probably the poorer, lower socioeconomic city to Brisbane. And, you know, they're Logan boys that made good. They got out there and they did really well for themselves, and they made some incredible music. The lead singer, who I can't remember the name of, came out as being gay when it was still a bit of an issue to be gay for some people. And I thought that was very brave of him. You know, early 2000s, he came out. And it wasn't long after that that they broke up. But I think that Darren Hayes, I just looked him up, Darren Hayes and Daniel Johns were the the two boys that made up Savage Garden. I don't know why that they broke up. I just remember that they did. But they did so well. Another incredible Australian band of my youth is In Excess. When the lead singer of In Excess passed away, all of Australia gasped. We just couldn't believe it. Michael Hutchence had passed away, and it was just a... We all just took a collective deep breath, and we couldn't let that go for a little while. I don't think he realized how many people loved him. And, you know, the songs of In Excess, Never Tear Us Apart, Need You Tonight, Mystify, Suicide Blonde, New Sensation. You know, these songs were the songs of my youth. And, you know, they were a real band. And they really, really rocked. So, yeah, they were fantastic. And in their 80s, 70s, 80s, the band scene here in Australia was really going for it, and it generated some fantastic musicians. And of course, the most famous of all the bands that have come out of this country are AC/DC.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, I always make sure that in my children's education that they listen to AC/DC. And one of the reasons I like them, apart from that awesome music, is that some of the boys in the band came from Scotland. as did Jimmy Barnes from Cold Chisel. And, you know, it's just that perfect mixture of Scotland, born in Scotland, grew up in Australia, just like me. What do you know?
All right.
Yeah. But, yeah, the band AC/DC, they cut across all levels of society. They just have that hard rock, blues rock, heavy metal. You can't really classify it as their own, you know. When you start actually looking at the lyrics and you start thinking about the songs that they've written, actually they're a lot deeper than you would think, you know. They sound just like noise probably to my grandparents. But they, you know, those songs were, when you really think about it, quite good songs, quite deep songs. In some cases, talking about, you know, dirty deeds done dirt cheap. That's talking about a hitman. That's talking about a seedy end of society. They're talking about, you know, who made who. Like, you know, who's the criminal here? You know, they're asking the heavy questions. And I think that a lot of people are afraid to go into that. So I don't know if they've ever really been identified as being a little bit political. I don't think that they have. But they have asked a lot of the deeper questions and the difficult questions, and they've identified the darker nature of humanity, and they've put that to music. And some people might say it's a celebration of that. I think that it's a spotlight on it, whichever way you want to look at it. And then Midnight Oil that's definitely a political band. But they brought a lot of spotlight to the raping of the earth through terrible acts of mining, you know, where they were not caring about how they treated the land afterwards. They were just scarring it up. Basically using the people who were working there, not caring about the Aboriginal people, and it was, you know, they were husbanding that land before white men came along and just destroyed it. So, you know, Midnight Oil have always been sort of that angry political band that have cut to the core as well. And maybe in my mind, I would look at AC/DC and say, yeah, you boys are talking about the dark side of human nature and shining a spotlight on it and asking you to think about it. And Midnight Oil were asking you to think about the dark side of geopolitics and looking at the way that corporations treat the planet. So they're just a few of the amazing bands that have come out of this country. Probably the most well-loved singer that I know of in my generation would be Jimmy Barnes, who was the lead singer of Cold Chisel. And that band brought a lot of people together. They've got a lot of heartfelt songs, classics. Choir Girl, a classic. Flame Trees. Just love that. Love that music, love that era. Wish we could bottle it and put it to today's youth and say, hey, be like these guys. Bring back some testicles into our music, please. Far out. Yeah. You quote me on that.
I will. All right.
I like testicles. They have their purpose.
Yeah, they do. They come in handy. Well, I'd like to talk about a few more inspirational songs. It's interesting. When I made up this list, if you'd asked me to do it 20 or 30 years ago, it would have been a whole different list. And a lot of the same songs that are on here were around then. But, I was thinking about John Lennon and the Beatles. And one of my favorite inspirational songs, it's a dream song, is Imagine. I believe in the power of dreams. And he was a dreamer, and he dreamed of a world where we're all one. And we are all one, but let's face it, we live in a divisive world where one nation pits itself against another nation, one individual against another individual. We're all unique, but at the core level, we are all one. We are all the same. And I just think it's a beautiful song. I mean, it's been around for, God, nearly 50 years. And then a couple of the Beatles songs that really spoke to me are Let It Be and The Long and Winding Road. I mean, when I think of life, it is a long and winding road. And, they're songs of faith. They seem to be based on Christianity, which some people can take or leave, and I'm of that opinion. But I love the sentiments contained in the songs. I mean, Let It Be. I had the lyrics down, and I don't remember them, but it talks about speaking words of wisdom, let it be, let it be. And God knows, hopefully as we grow and mature, we become wiser. And that doesn't happen to everybody. In fact, it probably happens to the minority of us, because most people don't even know who they are. They don't have a clue. And they die clueless. And it takes work. It takes work. It takes faith. It takes self-belief, self-love. And so many people don't love themselves, and therefore they can't really show love to one another. And that's sad. But that's just a fact of life. It's one of the mysteries or paradoxes of life. And, we all need to seek wisdom. We all need that in our lives if we are going to imagine a world where we are one. So it's my hope and my dream that the words that John Lennon spoke in that song, Imagine, will come to be. And a couple of my other favorite inspirational songs are I Believe. It's not a secular song. It's not a Christian song. It's I Believe. For every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows. And so it goes. The last line is I Believe. And I believe that all is for our good, even when it doesn't feel good, and that it's the simple pleasures that we need to cherish along the way, like a baby crying or a flower growing. There's so much beauty in life, and so many people harp on the negatives, and the things that they don't see going right. But let's face it, nature is a wonderful thing. It does bring us flowers. It does bring us babies. And testicles come in handy for that.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. And a few other things. But, you know, all joking aside, belief and, better yet, inner knowing. Be like the little engine that could. I think I can. I think I can. I know I can. Knowing is a step beyond faith, which can be blind. It's a step beyond belief. It is just knowing that all is good, all shall come to pass, all is possible. And one other song I wanted to mention was The Prayer, that was sung by Josh Groban and Andrea Bocelli with Celine Dion in Carroll Church. I mean, that is such an uplifting song. If you've never heard it, I encourage you to go onto YouTube and check it out. They're both beautiful versions. Josh and Andrea have wonderful voices, as do Celine and Charlotte. Well, you know, an acquired taste, I think. But sorry, Charlotte.
No. Now you're being controversial.
I know.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. You called me on that. You called me out correctly. So, no, that's a favorite song of mine. I love it. Oh, and one other song that Josh Groban sang, I think it was originally a hymn, and that is You Raise Me Up. So I Can Be on Mountains, You Raise Me Up. And, you know, whatever your beliefs are, it doesn't matter if you call it God, if you call it the universe, if you call it Allah, if you call it Jesus. There is a power greater than ourselves that some people choose to ignore and don't have belief in, and that's okay too. I trust they'll be in for a surprise when they pass on. But, you know, there's nothing more uplifting than acknowledging that power that's greater than yourself, that can restore you to a state of well-being, that can restore you to a place of joy and hope and love. And that's what that song is all about. What else do you have?
Well, I just wanted to say, imagine. It was my aunt, my Auntie Kathleen's favorite song, and she passed away. When she was passing away, they played that song to her.
Nice.
She was born in Glasgow and adopted by my grandparents, and moved to the USA in the 60s, where she met my uncle, and then they moved. They were in San Francisco, hippies, doing that thing, and then they went on out to Missouri, and they were just driving in their combi van. They'd had my cousin Eric, and they stopped. They broke down, and a farmer came along and helped them, and they decided to set their roots down there because people were nice. And I thought, that is a beautiful story. And when she passed away, she still had that inspired outlook. And, you know, so when I think of that song, I think of her. It's, you know, she was someone who made me feel safe that she was there. And even though she was in another country, in another hemisphere, I still think about her. And that song really gives me that sense of belonging when I think about her. So many different songs to think of, David. Oh my goodness, I feel like I'm betraying an artist or a song if I don't mention it, and then I get like a big, oh, I can't think of all the songs all at once. You know, I'm having a moment here. Bob Marley was somebody that was a friend of mine as far as music goes when I was a student and in my late teens. I just find his music uplifting and friendly. Buffalo Soldier, you know, Three Little Birds, One Love. these are songs that tell a story, and I love songs that tell a story. Bob Dylan's Hurricane. I don't know if I've heard anyone try and cover it, probably because it needs his particular voice to go with it. But what a story, you know, it's the truth. Another storyteller who's a musician, Eminem. You know, he came from a very difficult background and rose to fame through telling stories through his rap music. I mean, obviously, having my childhood in the 80s, I had some, you know, rap music that I liked. But as an adult, I started to fall away from it. It wasn't inspiring me. And there were white and black artists who were rap musicians that I liked when I was growing up. But for a long time, until I'd seen his face, I thought Eminem was an African-American guy, you know, sitting here in Australia and hearing him on the radio while I was getting about my life. I hadn't actually seen a picture of him. I was surprised to find that he was a white guy. Because he just had that incredible storytelling capability, fantastic voice, the rhythm, everything that usually a black artist has that brings to that genre in a genius level. And so, yeah, I was like, oh, wow, you're a white guy. And then I started to be interested in his story because it was a kind of tortured story, and I wanted to understand why he'd made up this guy, Stan, and then I found out about his background. And, you know, he came from quite a sad background of abusive, alcoholic family line. And, you know, he's another one that's made good. He's made mistakes, but he's made good, and he's put his, as far as I can understand, put his daughter first. So, you know, I couldn't go past talking about him. I don't know. I feel like I can't. I feel a bit frozen. Who do I talk about next?
Right.
too many great singers. Too many great songs. I'm a bit lost. Songs like "Eye of the Tiger."
Mm.
You know, that's a great inspirational song. I think that it's been a bit beaten up, that song, probably, and maybe it shouldn't have, because it has a great message about believing in yourself. Another one, Alicia Keys' "Girl Is on Fire." That's really, you know, really encouraging girls to stand up and be who they are. A fantastic message in that song. I also, you know, as far as Scottish artists go, there's quite a few, but one song that stands out from my youth is the band Garbage, Cherry Lips. And the reason that song stands out is because I walked into a relationship in my 20th year of life that I've since regretted, and out of that came my two elder sons, and they were the best thing that came out of that relationship. But it set me on a path of 20 years of hardship, and that song is sort of like everything I should have been. I used to listen to that song and beat myself up quite a bit. So, you know, that's a song that had forced me to really turn around and start to accept myself and the decision that I'd made, because I was young and dumb at that point. So Garbage did that for me. But another person that I really look up to as a singer is Annie Lennox from the band Eurythmics, and of course she's a Scottish singer-songwriter. Her vocal range is fantastic. The songs that the Eurythmics brought out were next level. You know, they stood out amongst all the artists in the 80s. They were just fantastic songs. You know, Would I Lie to You? Must Be Talking to an Angel.
Mm.
These, you know, that if I was to aspire to be like a musician, you know, I'd be looking at someone of her ilk. Now, to me, Annie Lennox has that same level of mastery of song that Shirley Bassey does. So I'm sorry, Annie, Shirley's still the goddess. She's got the crown as far as I'm concerned. But she's fantastic nonetheless. I really, really love her.
Absolutely. Well, we're coming to the end of the hour, and I wondered, in lieu of a meditation, I know it was your turn tonight. I don't want to step on any toes, but I was thinking of the song Somewhere from West Side Story. And if you don't mind, I'd like to play that.
Let's do that.
Okay. This is a version by Barbra Streisand and Josh Groban from the album Partners. It was released in 2014. So hang on, and here we go. Whoops.
Everyone ready? Disney Plus, Hulu, and
Whoops.
ESPN Plus team up.
Get him, I got him.
Thank you.
Thanks, Josh and Barbara, and thank you, Kat.
Thanks, David, and thanks to everyone who listened in.
Good night and good day, and God bless you all. Take care.
And make sure you join us. Sorry, David. Make sure you join us on Facebook, on our Facebook page, The Healing Circle with David Clark and Kat Edwards. And you'll see today's show posted on there. Please tell us what you think. What's your favorite song? And click like and share with your friends.
Perfect. Thank you, Kat.
Thanks, everyone.